Welcome to the Patriots in Pinstripes podcast, your one-stop shop for all things Somerset Patriots and New York Yankees prospect coverage. Here are your hosts, Steve Cusimano and Eli Fishman.
Welcome back to the Patriots in Pinstripes podcast. He's Eli Fishman, I'm Stephen Cusimano, and we are back, Eli, coming to you in mid-May right now, about a month and a half into the Somerset Patriots season. It's been a blast. You're back for the long haul after finishing up school. I've been here the whole time, and it's another fun Patriot squad, isn't it?
Especially over these last couple of weeks, hovering right around that 500 mark just a couple of weeks ago as we're recording this at the end of the Portland series. They were just 2 weeks ago, three, four games back, and now they're climbing up in the standings, and this has been a fun team, as you mentioned. They've got the youth. They've got a lot of studs on the offensive side that have broken out as well. It's been a fun time.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun developments over the start of this season, and we're not even halfway through the first half yet, so there's a lot to be determined in a very tight division, but Eli, I want to get down to business with this podcast because we had a couple really fun conversations getting to know the Patriots' first-year pitching coach, Brett DeGagne, who's entering his or is now in his fourth year with the Yankees organization after starting out as a coach for Single-A Tampa. The last two seasons he was with the Florida Complex League Yankees and actually helped them win a championship down there in 2022. And in working there the last couple of years with that group of pitchers, a lot of the pitchers on this Patriots staff are guys that he's worked with the past couple of years. So it's been 4 years, four different pitching coaches for the Somerset Patriots, and we're getting to know Brett DeGagne very well. And he had some really cool stuff to say, including about Bailey Deeze, who you caught up with earlier as well. We'll hear that conversation at the end of the podcast.
Yeah, Bailey Deeze in his first year as a starter after his first 3 years in the Yankees system as a reliever, and it's been an exciting transition. The stuff, the numbers have been great so far, and just great to hear from Brett DeGagne as well about the player development on the pitching side in this system, which over the past few years, since the Sam Breen era, who we're going to talk a lot about as well, began, the pitching development has been among the best in all of baseball.
And a little more context on Brett DeGagne. Again, fourth year in the Yankees organization, and he was actually a pitcher working underneath the Yankees director of pitching, Sam Breen, when he was in the Northwoods League in 2015, played college ball at the University of North Dakota in 2012-16, moved on to grad school at St. Cloud State, where he began his coaching career there and was the Huskies pitching coach from 2017-18, and then went to the Bismarck Larks of the Northwoods League when he was the pitching coach there in 2018. And most recently, as far as his college steps, he was at NIAC, North Iowa Area Community College. And then 1 year prior to joining the Yankees, that was when he was at NIAC and eventually joined Sam Breen, who he had a connection with prior to joining the Yankees organization. So really fun conversation had between ourselves and Brett DeGagne. Here is that conversation here on the Patriots in Pinstripes podcast. Back here with the Somerset Patriots with Eli Fishman, Stephen Cusimano here, joined alongside the Patriots' first-year pitching coach, Brett DeGagne, our guest on the Patriots in Pinstripes podcast this week. And Brett, first and foremost, first year as the pitching coach here in Somerset, we're excited to have you, and thank you for the time today.
No, I appreciate it. Happy to be here.
Well, fourth year of the Yankees organization, and I know you spent a couple years in the Complex League and have gotten to know the pitchers on this staff very well. What are your just overall first impressions of working here in Somerset with this coaching staff and this group of players, specifically through, you know, a month and a half into the season?
It's been a joy. Obviously, we have, you know, a really talented pitching staff. We got a great staff here with Bossy and Kevin and Raul and, you know, our training staff, our strength staff. So just been a joy so far to be a part of, obviously getting to be here in Somerset and the fans and the atmosphere here around the ballpark, especially as it starts to warm up, has just been a blast.
In terms of the actual coaching, would you say there's a pretty big difference between rookie ball and double A in terms of the instruction, the guidance that you're giving due to obviously very different levels of arms?
Yeah, it is. I think, like, the main thing stays the main thing, right? Like, we're still making sure that we're checking the box on objectives and things that we know that we need to push forward on in order for these guys to, you know, hopefully be, you know, impact big leaguers. But, yeah, there's just different levels to it. There's, you know, parts of the development process that we're crossing here that are just obviously different when you're dealing with, you know, 18 to 21-year-old kids, you know, at the complex and at low A, obviously, which is where I really started my first season as well. So this is just a natural progression for these guys. It's a natural progression for myself, and happy to be learning on the fly with a lot of these guys as we go through this year.
And the unique thing that's probably exciting for you is the fact that I mentioned before, you're working with a lot of the same guys you were with in the Complex League the last couple of years, and even in low A the year prior. When you think about a guy like Brock Selvidge or just guys that you've worked with over the past couple of years, how much is what you're working on with them now comparative or relative to what they were working on with you the past couple of years?
I mean, it's a graduation for a lot of these guys. Like Brock, you know, is a good example of that. Coming in his first year, working on being in the zone, refining some pitch shapes, things like that, kind of starting to, you know, tip of the iceberg when it comes to, like, game planning stuff. Now it's, you know, where are we at for execution? You know, pitch shapes we feel like are in a great spot. So we're kind of attacking that, you know, just with execution in game, making sure that, you know, he's up to date on, you know, the lineups he's facing and how does that actually, you know, go into his game planning process. So it's just a natural progression that's happened for Brock. And obviously he's hit the ground running since he's been in our organization. And, you know, he's a guy we're obviously super excited about.
While we're on the topic of Brock, I know one thing he's mentioned to us that he's really been working on, especially in the offseason entering this year, was the changeup, developing that, and then just the location of the strike zone. Not control of the strike zone, but specifically pinpointing exact spots on the inner outer corners of the zone. How well do you feel that those two elements have come along, especially the changeup this year?
I mean, the changeup's real. It's a really good pitch. He's starting to get some feel for it. He's starting to get really confident with it to the point where, you know, he's like not having to like be like try to find these perfect places to throw it. But he's leaning into it and throwing it as an attack count pitch and getting after guys. So that's been great. And obviously, like, working on the command stuff, being able to throw a breaking ball to both sides of the plate, being able to utilize his cutter underneath the zone when he gets a two strike. So he's been just like super locked in. His bullpens are a lot of fun to be a part of just because of the nature of his intent and the nature of his focus. So it's been really cool to see that from a pitch that last year he was throwing on occasion 2-3 times a ball game. Now we're getting it over, you know, 10, you know, against righties. I think it's a huge weapon for him.
Mm-hmm. Now, switching arms and looking at another guy in the rotation that has been very strong, that's Bailey Deez, who's in his first year as a starting pitcher after a lot of time as a reliever. What have you seen from that progression? And obviously, I mean, in terms of the pure stuff, you kind of expect it to take a little bit of a drop going from a reliever, you're coming out of the bullpen chucking it, to a starter, but it feels like the stuff has played just as well, if not better.
Yeah, he's a guy we were super excited about how he came back. He changed his body this offseason. He you know, lost some weight, but like put on some muscle at the same time and kind of leaned out a little bit. And then like he comes into spring training, he's got a new slider from the offseason working with Preston specifically. The changeup is still a huge weapon for him, and he's got a fastball that plays to both sides of the plate. So it was kind of an easy conversation. We obviously put it in his court of like, what do you want to do? Is this something you'd be interested in doing? You know, moving to a starting role, which is something that he was used to in college. Not obviously in pro ball yet, but you know, it was something he was excited about. It was something we were excited about. He's got three pitches that play to both hands. He's in the zone a ton. So we were excited about making that move, and obviously, like, he's, you know, proved us all right that he has the ability to do it. And you know, he continues to put together really good starts, and I think the best is yet to come for him. Like, I don't think we're by any means maxed out on what we've seen. I think there's still some velo to be had there, and obviously some execution stuff along the way that we're going
to
get to.
And that's impressive to think about, because he's had 6 shutout frames. He's had starts where 9 strikeouts, no walks. It's been impressive to see. But thinking about just when he reported, how soon into, you know, seeing this new slider and this new version of Bailey Deez, how soon into him reporting did you guys kind of make this decision and bring it to his court?
I would say it probably took about 3 weeks, maybe 2-3 weeks. But since he got to Tampa, we were really excited about the way that he looked physically and obviously the way that he was performing. And so it was a kind of a conversation behind the scenes a little bit more earlier than it was actually brought to him. So by the time, you know, we had kind of all been in a room, all the pitching department, and we all kind of were on the same page of like, hey, this is a great opportunity for him and us to be able to move him into that role. And obviously we're really seeing the fruits of that labor right now.
What are those meetings like in spring training or even in the complex and extended? I mean, in spring training, there's like well over 100 arms. You got all the coaches together. Guys are throwing nonstop. You kind of just go through a list and talk about guys. Does Sam just round everyone up and grab opinions? What exactly is that like?
I think most of it's at like the end of the day. We'll have conversations. Obviously, we've been out there for, you know, 8 hours at that point, and everybody's you know, pretty well spent. And our office is really conducive to like conversation. Everybody's facing towards the middle. where all of our computers and screens and the whole bit are all around each other. And so, you know, usually it's just like, man, this guy was good today, and it'll just spark a conversation and we'll go from there. And that's usually how things go. It's just organic conversations. It's nothing formal. And, you know, he was a guy that it always felt like every time he threw, we were like, man, Bailey Deez was really good today. And it was pretty obvious from the start where he was at.
I want to take things back a little bit to before your coaching career. 2015 in the Northwoods League, and your pitching coach was the director of pitching for the New York Yankees in San Breen. First, before we dive into everything about it, tell me about that summer and kind of how that led to where you are today.
Yeah, I think 2015 was and I think – I don't want to speak for Sam, but I think Sam probably feels the same way. I think I've actually heard him say this, but, like, that was the most fun I ever had playing baseball. We had an electric team. I want to say it was like 15 or 16 guys played affiliate baseball off of that roster. We won. We were really good. And it was a really fun group to be a part of. And I was living at home in St. Cloud and living at actually my brother's house in St. Cloud. So it was an incredible summer. We obviously had a ton of success. And Sam was the leader of that group. And from the pitching side of things, like, I learned so much from him in a short amount of time that even after I was done playing there, you know, I'd lean on him for some conversations when I was at school, and then obviously hopping into coaching basically a calendar year after I'd played for him. I had been in a situation where I was like running the staff at St. Cloud State, and I leaned on him a ton because at that point he was at Driveline. We wanted to implement, you know, weighted balls and plyos and different things like that I had not done as a player. But I was seeing the benefits of those types of things that they were running through, and obviously I had an in on the inside to be able to kind of get some insight into what we wanted to do. And I leaned on him big time. So, like, he had a big impact on me as a player. And obviously into my senior year, I had probably my best year as a player. Had a really good summer that summer with him. So I had, you know, some trust built up with him, and I wanted to continue to lean on him. And then obviously was able to do that as a coach at the same time.
So from the time you played throughout your coaching career at St. Cloud State, it was pretty much a constant dialogue between you and him. And then at what point did it develop to maybe he would want you to be a part of something the Yankees are working on over here?
Well, so I was at St. Cloud State for 2 years, two full years. And then I went to the North Iowa Area Community College. So my third year college coaching, he still was at Driveline. So, like, our conversations were exactly that. I was just using him as a mentor and picking his brain on things and programming and things of that nature. And then basically what happened is going into my fourth year of college coaching, my second year at NIAC, is when Sam got the job right at the in the summer range of 2019, I believe. And so when he got the job, like, you know, congratulated him on the job, and I was like, hopefully we, you know, still stay in touch, all the different things, like, don't change on me kind of thing. And and then it kind of just came to fruition where he was like, you know, kind of put it in my court. Like, it was not really something that I had really even thought was a possibility, to be honest with you. And he put it in my court and said, hey, if you're interested in interviewing, this would be an opportunity that I think we would be looking for somebody like you. And obviously got the opportunity to interview and then got the job. So
2015 was also very early in the Driveline revolution. And I think I remember you saying he brought out weighted balls to you guys in 2015. And I would assume you guys were all kind of like, what the heck, in terms of that time frame. When was it when you kind of realized that he was, you know, I mean, everyone talks about him that we've talked to throughout the organization, that the mastermind that he is. When did you kind of realize that?
It was 2015. I mean, like, even something as simple as, like, how we structured bullpens. Like, there was a intention on, like, the environment, what we were trying to do, intention with that, tracking things, tracking strikes, learning how to pitch off each other using different lines with your fastball and slider and changeup, and throwing short boxes, throwing bullpens at, like, 55 feet. Like, I think these things still I just, like, remember in my brain because it was so new and different to me. And then there's always, like, in summer ball, it's really a unique situation because you have a pitching coach that knows nobody. And then you have a bunch of guys that are like, you got guys that are at LSU, and then you got guys that are playing Division III baseball on the same roster. And so the, like, level of knowledge of not only pitching, but, like, routines and different things like that. Like, I coached in the Northwoods League. I've felt that same thing where it's like, guys are a lot of times they really lean on that pitching coach, and sometimes they're like, I don't really need anything, right? So the guys that were craving a routine needed something for recovery stuff. Sam had a binder. You had three options on the day after you pitched if you wanted it, and it was available for you. And like some of the things that were in there, I started to do on my own because I just like was like, this is different. This is something that made me feel good. And other guys had talked, you know, highly of it. And you know, I learned pretty quick that he had a really good handle on things, and he was willing to be wrong, willing to be forward thinking, and like kind of stick his neck out on things and put it in those guys' court. And then obviously some of us really benefited from it and loved the way it helped us.
Coming from coaching JUCO and to the Yankees organization, has there been one big surprise to you in terms of the professional pitching realm, specifically with the Yankees?
I don't think anything is like that mind-blowing outside the fact that like you're surrounded by incredible people. You're surrounded by incredible resources, whether it's data, you know, tools, as far as like technology, different things like that. Like, that's the surprise. And then being able to have the people that we do in the building to be able to utilize them to be able to like actually put those tools to use, right? Like, you can have all the technology in the world, but if you don't have good people and incredibly intelligent people and systems to be able to deploy those types of things, they don't matter. And so that's why I think we have with the Yankees, I think we have a really cool setup, a really cool, I guess, just like inner workings to give us the opportunity to be able to use those types of things for the betterment of the players and us as coaches, make our lives easier at the same time. And that's ultimately what we're after, is to try to push the needle forward every year.
We've talked a lot about Sam, but as far as some of the other pitching minds in the organization, and even a guy like Preston, who mentioned before, that's worked with some of these pitchers at length with Hudson Valley, how much do you find yourself throughout the year, or even like maybe even during spring training, when you kind of understand there's certain guys that are going to be under your tutelage for this season, how much are you in contact with those guys about certain things that specific pitcher that worked with Preston or somebody else in the organization has been working on, and how much is that conversation, I guess, progressed throughout the year?
Yeah, I think it happens a lot. I actually reached out to Preston a couple days ago. I've reached out to Medic recently on some of these guys that we've all interacted with our pitchers across the organization in some capacity, but being able to lean on those guys, hey, what worked here? I'm trying to deliver this message. How did you go about it with that guy? Those types of things are really important because, like, ultimately, like, the relationship with the player is such an important factor in our ability to be able to deliver information and impact them, hopefully in a positive direction. And so it's a constant thing. I mean, we lean on everybody. I lean on Sam. I lean on, you know, Ben Buck, our coordinator, our rehab coordinator, you know, John Kramer. Like, across our organization, we got such good people. And, you know, reaching out to Graham on, you know, some of the stuff he does for game planning up in AAA, and what he does is such a high level. And so, like, we use each other across the board, and I think that's the cool thing about the cohesion of our group, is that it's so, what does our org need, what does our department need, and we're so willing to help each other. And I think, like, we'll obviously answer the phone for anybody in our org to be able to kind of lean on each other and help push that needle.
Looking at this current pitching staff, I mean, there's obviously been a lot to be happy with and a lot we've been impressed with so far. For you, can you pick out one or a few guys who are your underdogs, you know, your guys that haven't necessarily been talked about a ton, who you've been excited to work with and who people should be excited about?
I think the first guy that comes to mind is Kevin Stevens, just given the fact that he's, you know, not on a prospect list or anything. Obviously, he's been off to a really good start here in the early parts of the season. You know, two big time pitches in his fastball and his gyro slider, and he's been off to a really good start. You know, Messenger continues to put together really good outings. Obviously, you know, he's on a prospect list as well. But those two guys have done a really nice job. And then there's guys like, you know, Tristan Vreeling, who obviously was a decently high pick, but he's getting his first taste of pro ball, being in Double A, and obviously has handled it really well and continues to do so. So it's just like we have such a deep, diverse staff of a lot of guys that, you know, we see a lot of long futures in, and we're really excited about this group. Those guys come to mind.
I'm glad you mentioned those two specifically, in Stevens and Vreeling, because entering this year, they had like combined 10 innings of professional pitching experience. When you guys are kind of planning what this Somerset roster looks like, what the rest of the affiliates and how everything breaks down, I mean, how do you come to the decision that these guys, in spite of the fact they've had limited pitching experience in single A, high A, that they're ready? And I got to commend you guys because looking at the work that they've had this year, they look more than ready for double-A hitters.
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to, like, you know, what we see on a daily basis. And obviously those decisions are made, you know, far above me. But what are we seeing on a daily basis? How do things project out? Where are they at in terms of their maturity of being able to handle this? You know, obviously the environment, being able to handle the hitters that they're about to face. And obviously we saw, you know, great things in both of these guys. And you know, they both deserve to be here, and they're obviously performing as such. And so it's a really cool thing. And like, they're going to go through their lumps like a lot of guys do, and they're getting their first taste of it. And it's been an awesome start so far.
Another guy I want to ask about is Jack Neely, because his K per nine, I mean, his career is like insane. And obviously he's had a great start to the season. How exactly do you approach him in terms of, he's a two pitch mix guy. I remember he said it in an interview a couple weeks ago, like, yeah, I'm two pitches. They can know it's coming, but they're not going to hit it. And that kind of approach, how exactly do you manage, you know, that kind of arm in a bullpen?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, setting him up for success and giving him the opportunity to be able to go out there at the, you know, leverage parts of the game. Obviously, he's had a really nice start to his professional career. And the things that, you know, he struggled with in college are not a factor anymore. And that's a really, really big testament to him. From a strike throwing standpoint, being able to be in the zone more, and be able to get ahead and strike guys out. And so it's just the conversations are about getting ahead and being able to use his best stuff and being able to use, you know, the fastball and in two strike counts. And obviously we know the slider's a, you know, a real pitch at, you know, getting 60%, 65% miss over the last couple of seasons. And so he is just, you know, nonstop. Like just craving more information. How do we get better? How do we get guys out? How can I be a little bit more fine? And that, like, that general control, kind of like what we were talking about earlier, is turning more into a command guy, like in a way. Like he's trying to go to areas in different counts, and he's done a really nice job of it. And so, like, obviously we're seeing the progression, obviously, that's happening in game right now, and a lot of it just has to do with his ability to work every day and put his best foot forward and you know, his training environment be able to speak for itself.
The Yankees have had a lot of later round steals in guys that didn't necessarily put up the flashiest numbers in college. Neely's one of those guys. D's put up, it was like a 5.6 ERA, not like the flashiest numbers his senior year at Penn State. And the swing and miss numbers and the stuff is off the charts, and you see that and you develop that in pro ball. In terms of, especially at the FCL level, is there a communication with the amateur scouting department in terms of what exactly they're looking for, what they hope to develop, or is it kind of just like, here he is, you know, let it ride?
Yeah, I think there's a really good relationship between our pitching department and our amateur scouting. Scott Lovekamp and Damon and Mitch, like, our offices are right across the hall from each other at Himes. So we talk to those guys a lot. I know Sam obviously talks on a more granular level about what we're looking for and what they like to see as well. And so, like, that's the best, you know, starting point of everything, is like, obviously getting good players is good player development, right? Like, get good players in the door and then be able to be able to lean on their strengths and go from there. And so, like, obviously they've done a really, really nice job, especially in the later rounds, as you said. Like, we've kind of found some guys that have been off to really good starts in their career. And like, that's a really good testament to our scouting department, to our performance science, to our strength department as well, of identifying those guys and being able to, like, get the most out of them outside of the actual field itself, and then us being able to lean on the things that they do well already and optimize those strengths of theirs. And so it's a multi-department accomplishment when guys start to have success. It's definitely not just the pitching side.
Last thing for me, Brett. I mean, you go from a couple years in the complex league where your attention is being spread from probably, I mean, how many, 30, 40 pitchers at a given time or season, to now in Somerset this year, you know, on any given time, hopefully you have 14, 15 pitchers on the roster, sometimes 11 or 12 to work with on bad days. But how different is it just being able to concentrate all of your attention on 12 to 15 pitchers versus a wide array of guys with a lot of different minds in the room?
You know, I think there's a lot of players at the complex. There's no doubt about that. Like, there's a lot more than there is at an affiliate. But at the same time, like, you also have, you know, another pitching coach. You also have, you know, usually Krem is around, our rehab coordinator. around for games, being able to help out. And we obviously help out with the rehabs at the same time. And then obviously we have Buck and Sam being able to travel in and out too. So, like, there is a lot of hands there as well. So it's not like you're fighting that 30-man battle on your own by any stretch of the imagination between the rehabs and things of that nature. But it's different. It's a really cool experience to be able to be here. I kind of felt this in 21 being with the Tarpons as well, of like being able to, you know, hone in on the guys that you have and, like, you know, dedicate all your time and efforts into them. And hopefully there's a, you know, marginal gains being made from like the help that I'm hopefully providing for these guys. But these guys are super self-motivated. We have a great staff. We have a bunch of great guys on this team, and they're like, They're so self-motivated with what they do and how they go about their business, that I'm just trying to be able to be an ally and, like, help them in any way that I can and things that I'm seeing, and then obviously being able to answer those inevitable questions that are coming across the table as they do, as good or bad outings happen. Like, things, you just kind of got to roll with the punches and continue to help them along.
Well, Brett, it's been great. Thank you so much. It's been, what, a month and a half into the season now, and we're already seeing how much better this staff has become from day one to whatever we're on now, day 40. So great job. Thanks so much for the time, and we really appreciate everything. Best of luck with the remainder of the season.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Very appreciative of Brett DeGagne's time joining us on this Patriots and Pinstripes podcast. And like I said before, Eli, 4 years, four different Patriots pitching coaches. We're always excited to learn about the Geraldo Casadiegos, the Grayson Crawfords. This year it's Brett DeGagne. And again, I mentioned it towards the tail end of that interview, a month and a half into the season, we're already seeing the benefits of having Brett DeGagne's mind here with a pitching staff that has been drastically improved from day one to day 40.
And among the best in the league so far, and always great to hear the inner workings of the system, but also about his background and meeting Sam Breen, coaching at the junior college and Division II levels, which is something, you know, that you don't necessarily see throughout every single organization. Yankees have some fun minds, but also some quirky backgrounds, and we heard about that a little bit from DeGagne as well.
I thought it was fun, too, just hearing about the general inner workings of the Yankees complex, working with Sam Breen, 100%. The other minds, the dialogue that takes place, and a question that you asked, too, about what are those conversations like when you approach a guy like Bailey Deez and say, how would you handle being a starter? Is this something you'd like to try? And just hearing the way that those kind of conversations and sit-downs go at the complex. But I thought that was interesting. But another thing that I'm excited to hear, Eli, is the fact that you actually caught up with Bailey Deez about that starting pitching transition.
Yeah, and he talked a lot about that transition, kind of the fact that the stuff was off the charts, and it was also playing so well for 2-3 innings as he was getting stretched out. Yankee said, let's make something of this. We heard DeGagne touch on it. And now it's time to talk to Bailey Deez about that transition to becoming a starter this year for the Patriots.
Here with Bailey Deez, freshly converted from a reliever to a starter for the 2024 Patriots season. And your last three starts, excellent. 1.2 ERA, dominant. It feels like you've gotten better every single start. Does it feel that way for you?
Yeah, it does, sure. In the beginning, it was kind of definitely an adjustment. And I think just each week, I'm just trying to learn from the previous start and talk to the other starters about what they're doing well and kind of their routine. So it's been good kind of bouncing ideas off of other pitchers in the org. But yeah, each start I feel like I'm getting better and better.
How'd you find that routine, and what exactly is that routine?
I'd say it's still kind of a work in progress, but I started in college a little bit, so I took some things from there, and then just talking with like guys like Messenger, Abeda, Vreeling, those guys who have started their whole careers, kind of just asking them what their pre-throwing routine looks like, you know, what's their mindset during the game, you know, how do they kind of last 5-6 innings versus just one or two. So just, they've been really helpful.
And what was the process of actually converting? Did you, how soon into spring training or before spring training did you know, and is it the org coming to you and saying, let's try this out?
It was actually, I want to say, a little over a week past the halfway mark in spring training where I found out. Our head pitching guy, Sam Breen, pulled me in and just asked me if that was something I'd be interested in. And I just told him, yeah, kind of whatever you need from me, I'm willing to do. So I found out later than I thought, but ever since then, it's just been all about like kind of building volume each week and kind of working on strengthening my arm and being able to last, like I said, five, six innings.
Do you miss the guys in the bullpen goofing around during the game a little bit? Because now you're in the dugout. You got your set rest days instead of your fun time during the game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I definitely miss the bullpen. And it's kind of a thing where starters aren't allowed in the bullpen. We try to keep that separate. So I definitely miss the guys down there because it's definitely a different vibe in the dugout versus the bullpen. More jokes, I'd say, getting thrown around in the bullpen and, I don't know, different things and whatnot. But, yeah, I definitely miss those guys.
Last season for you, a great year between Hudson Valley and Somerset, got your way up here, pitched to an ERA just over 3 and a K per 9 of almost 12. What was the key to the breakout year last year?
Man, the coaching staff there in Hudson was really helpful. Preston Claiborne helped me a lot kind of figure out my mentality as a reliever. And there were some certain things we're working on as far as, like, pitch shape, how I'm attacking certain guys. So I think similar to this year in the beginning, it was sort of an adjustment period. But once I kind of found my comfort zone, it was just, can you repeat that each time? And it was really a mentality thing that I had to figure out as a reliever, and now it's a little bit different as a starter. But
if I look at your 2021 Bailey Dees and you right now, what would you say has been the biggest difference in your development?
Aside from
obviously now being a starter.
Yeah. I added a different pitch. I didn't add. I changed my slider to more of a gyro slider in the off season. So that's been something. Last year, my slider was pretty inconsistent as far as shape. So some pitches, it would be more of a curveball shape, more of a, you know, sweeper sometimes gyro. But I feel like my slider shape has been pretty consistent, so it's been easier to command and kind of put where I want. So I think that's been very helpful.
In general, in your path, 18th round pick out of Penn State, and you were the last guy to sign from that 2021 class. Did you come out with a little bit of a chip on your shoulder, you know, as a later round reliever kind of guy?
I wouldn't say I had a chip. Honestly, yeah. I mean, everyone wants to go higher than they end up doing. But I was just super grateful for the opportunity that the Yankees, they picked me. And I will always be forever grateful for that opportunity. And I honestly couldn't be happier than being with this organization right now. I know it's all glory to God. You know, everything happens for a reason, and I'm happy with the way it shook out.
What are you hoping to accomplish over the next few months this season?
Just want to keep getting better each start, continue to be a man of character and just continue to just do little things right and just keep getting better and better each start, not getting too worked up about if something goes wrong, goes one way or the other, just kind of keeping that neutral mindset and just keep chugging.
And a lot of guys obviously talk about when you know, go to the rotation, your velo and your stuff might take a little bit of a tick down. I saw you were 94-95 on the stadium gun your last start at home, if I'm not mistaken. So do you feel that there's been anything of a decrease, or are you confident that your stuff, even though you're getting stretched out more, has still been the same?
Yeah, I think that stadium gun might be a little hot. But, yeah, honestly, like, I think it's decreased a little bit, but like I said, I think that's just my body getting used to the pitch count, and I feel like my arm's starting to catch back up, and hopefully, you know, my goal is that my velo is even higher than it was in spring training by the end of the year, so I'm hoping that by each start I can just tick up that velo a little bit more.
Great conversation there with Bailey Dees. Thanks to him for taking the time, and he's talked a lot about the mental side of the transition as well, because obviously a reliever can empty the tank up, but as a starter, that's a big tank that you got to keep full for as long as possible. Great to hear about the transition and kind of how it came about. And Dees feels like he's gotten better every single start as he gets more used to that gas tank.
And I love having the additional context of, again, going back to our initial conversation with Brett DeGagne of what Sam Breen, Brett DeGagne, the Yankees pitching minds observed in the first 2 or 3 weeks of spring training and how that related to the conversation, and then hearing the Bailey Dees side of the story and seeing from our perspective how excellent he's looked on the mound as a guy that started about 30 college games and then was drafted as a reliever, pitched his first 80 career games in relief for the Yankees and put up really good numbers his first 3 years, and just seeing how fluidly and smooth this transition's gone for Bailey Dees. Really good stuff, and we thank Bailey Dees for his time on this week's podcast as well. As for our next podcast, it won't be long. Like I mentioned, Eli and I both back for the long haul this summer. We'll have more conversations with the rest of the Somerset Patriots, coaches, players, you name it. really fun stuff. We'll even talk with the front office at times and talk to you about some of the fun promotions that we've got coming up at TD Bank Ballpark. But thanks so much to everyone tuning in to this week's Patriots in Pinstripes podcast for our great guests, Brett DeGagne and Bailey Dees, as well as Eli Fishman. I'm Stephen Cusimano saying so long. We'll see you at the ballpark. Some fun things coming up. We've got our first Jersey Diners game coming up in June. We've got Yankees Pinstripe Pride Day coming up June 2nd. And my personal favorite promo of the season, Sopranos Night, coming up on June 1st with Steve Sciarippa in the house. So we've got a very exciting week, month, year of baseball coming up as the Somerset Patriots look to get hot down the stretch towards the end of this first half. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in, and we will see you next time on the Patriots in Pinstripes podcast.